So our scripture today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and the tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard, speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phoenicia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visions from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what I've spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon the flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" And so I'm going to talk about it a little bit more in a minute, but Pentecost was this celebration that Jewish people had later after Passover. And so one of the things I want to make sure that everybody understands is that this isn't the first time God's Holy Spirit was on his earth. It's this time that the disciples recognize it, but it's not the first time it happened. So this is from Acts later, 28:25. "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit through Isaiah the prophet unto your fathers." And so what he's trying to show here is that even back into the Old Testament, this Spirit of God was around. And so for these men and those that were following Jesus, this idea of the Holy Spirit really becomes the dominant source of power and guidance. And so they are going to go to that Spirit of God before they make decisions, as they reach out into the world to see other people. And so this is from Acts again. "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Separate me from Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them.'" And so they listened to that Holy Spirit guide and direct them on what they needed to do. And so then later on, so they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so the leaders of the church were led by the Holy Spirit, and I would tell you that's the way the leaders of the church should be today. That hasn't changed. And again, as I said before, the Holy Spirit was their source of power and courage. And so the question is, do we recognize it? Are we open and listening? "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and ye shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so the closer that we can recognize God's will, to do what he is asking us to do, then it makes us more open to allowing the Holy Spirit to move us and to recognize it. So this Pentecost was a festival really had two things it was commemorating. One was Moses bringing down the tablets of the law. The other was for a safe harvest. It was about 50 days after Passover. Now, we would think, why would you be so grateful for harvest and it's just spring? Because in Israel in the summer, it's too hot, nothing grows. So their harvest is early, their harvest is late, is when their planting season is. And so we talked about this at Passover, why there were so many people in Jerusalem because of this holiday. Well, this same thing happens here. So there were three times that if you were a man, you lived within 20 or miles or so of Jerusalem, you were supposed to get there in person. This is one of those times. And so it explains the crowds and how many people were around. And so we have this speaking in tongues, which some people find really important. When I was doing some work on this, Paul was not a big fan of speaking in tongues. And the reason he was, or was not, is that the speaking in tongues in and of itself isn't helpful unless there's somebody around that can translate it to what they're saying. And so I've been in a church before and someone stood up and felt that God was leading them to speak in tongues, but there was nobody there saying what they were saying, how God was leading them. And so it really doesn't mean anything. And so Paul's not a big fan of speaking in tongues if you don't hear a message or get something out of it. At the end of this, they talk about this day of the Lord. And really, what we would say the day of the Lord is the second coming. It's when Jesus is going to come back. And if you're a believer and you've been saved, you'll be taken. That wasn't really what the day of the Lord meant for people of Israel at this time. And so if you go in and read like Hosea, and tonight we're going to talk about Philemon in the evening service, and some of those smaller prophets, they talk about the day of the Lord. But for them, what that really meant, that they would agree that the Lord was coming back, but what they felt more, it was a time for things to get evened out. So for the people of Israel, that meant they weren't going to be stepped on by their neighbors and the Romans anymore, that they were going to come into power. And for them, they knew that they were not strong or powerful enough to do it on their own, that God would have to help them to make that happen. And so, again, when you read some of those, what we call the minor prophets, they always have a caution to the people of Israel, is that they were in a rush for the day of the Lord to happen because they felt like it was their time to get even. When you read those prophets, what they'll say is, you know what, you better not be so quick to want this to happen because you're not any different than the people that you're wanting to get revenge upon. Because you're not caring for the sick, you're not caring for the widows, you're not going to prayer like you're supposed to, you're not doing the things that God has asked you to do, yet you're in a big rush for Jesus to come back to get even with the people that you think are downtrodden you. And so those prophets, there's either a major story in those or a minor story, that don't be in such a hurry for this to happen because it may not turn out the way you want. You think that you're special, that you've been pulled out, but you haven't done the things you were supposed to do, and so you're not going to be treated any different than the Romans. So back to this work of the Holy Spirit. So we had two really good examples today where they stopped and helped you with the tractor, and they stopped Libby and helped with the gas. And so sometimes I think we don't recognize when the Holy Spirit's at work. And so I've got two examples that I'm going to share with you guys today of times when I really, really, really knew the Holy Spirit was at work. And so have you guys ever been, Dennis, I know you have been at least once, have you ever been to a nursing home for a service at a nursing home? Okay. What's the odds of somebody getting upset in the middle of the pastor's service and causing some kind of a commotion? It's not 100, but it's a high number. And so when you go to a nursing home and you're doing a service, you always have to kind of keep in mind that somebody can get really perturbed, and you don't always know why, kind of in the middle of the service, wherever you're at, And they're probably either, depending on how the staff's doing and what kind of problems or problems they don't have with the person, how they're going to react to them. And so this was at the nursing home in Dunkirk, sort of Dunkirk, it's out in the country, but we'll say Dunkirk. And there was a lady that was usually there that didn't make it through the whole service. And so we were there, there was a group of us from the church, and we were doing the service, and she was particularly calm that day. And there were a couple different people in the group that didn't always come. And as the service was going on, because we did some hymns and we had a short devotion, one of the things that always amazed me in the nursing homes is that you would have people that wouldn't take a hymnal because they really didn't talk anymore, whatever had happened to them. And yet you would sing an old hymn and you would see them mouthing the words to the hymn. And that didn't happen like once or twice, it happened all the time. And it didn't matter, there's been like four different nursing homes that I've gone to over time, and that always happens. There's always somebody in there that, whether they've had a stroke or whatever the problem is, and they don't really talk at all anymore, zero, they have the ability, those hymns resonate somehow in them. And so we had some of that going on, and as we continued on with the service, I thought, this is just really different today. You can feel God's presence in this room. It almost was all women every time. I don't know what happened to the men. They just didn't really have a lot of men in that nursing home. And so there's probably 35 or 40 residents there. And we kind of came to a stopping time after whatever scripture I was using. And one of the ladies said, hey, I've been thinking about this today. And she shared what it was that it meant to her. And so we finished with some hymns, and as I was walking out, I thought, you can really feel God's presence in here today. And if I was there 10 times, that time I really felt it, and the other times it just wasn't as strong for whatever reason. But you know, sometimes when that happens, you think to yourself, you know what, that was just me. I felt that, but I bet nobody else did. And so the next week we're at church. There were two ladies that always met me there and helped with the singing. Because in case you guys haven't heard me, I'm not a very good singer. It's okay, I know, you don't have to hold back. And so they always did the singing. And so before church started that day, they rode together and they said, you know, we were talking when we left the nursing home about how great God's Spirit was that day. And we wondered if you felt that way too. And I said, yes. And I said, have you guys ever felt that way there before? And they said, no, it was so different. And they'd gone a number of times before that because they'd gone with the previous pastor. And so that day, either we were more open to it, or the group was, or whatever, but you could feel God's Spirit just moving and being with the people. And it was just, it was amazing. And that's the only way I can explain it. Now the other example, and so I bring pictures, and I know you guys can't see this, but I'll set it here and you can look at it after the service. Almost a year ago, there was a young man at Honey Creek, and he had decided to join the church. He looks real tall in there, but he's only a 10 or 11. He looks like he's 16 or 17, but he's really only 10 or 11. He's just really tall. And he decided he wanted to join the church, and his parents had decided they weren't going to baptize him, that they wanted him to make that decision when he got older. And so when he came to me in March, he said, I want to be baptized, but I want to do it in the creek that runs through our family farm. And I said, can we wait till it's warmer? He said, yes. And so right after that, the church closed for, I think we were closed for 6 or 8 weeks. We came back. We made arrangements. I was talking with his mom and dad, and they said, we have this perfect place that runs through the farm. We can just all walk down in. It's like 4 or 5 feet deep, so it's plenty deep enough for you guys to baptize him. And we set a date because her family and his family are all from Ohio, and so they wanted to come over and and be part, a witness to this. So we decided we would do it right after the service. So we were going to meet at their house about 10:30. And so the morning that we're supposed to do this, his dad comes to me and says, "Hey, there's a problem." And I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, "It's been so dry, the creek's gone down, and the water's not deep enough where we want to do this." And I said, "Okay, what do you want to do?" He said, "Well, we found a place that's deeper, but there's a couple problems with it." And I said, "Well, what's the problem?" And he said, "Well, it's down a real steep bank, and then the bank is about a 4 or 5 foot drop into the water. So are you okay with, you know, going down this bank, and then I'll figure out a way to get you guys in the water?" And so, Judy, you might want to pay attention to this part. So I always have the lay leader of the church help with the baptisms, because I represent the church part, she represents the congregation. And so I checked with Luann to make sure she was okay with this, and she goes, "Oh yeah, whatever we have to do." And so when we get there, it's in the back of their property, and it's like a perfect amphitheater. It's a hill, but it's pretty steep. I mean, it's probably a 20 degree drop, and they had to go in and clear all this woods out. And in fact, when we get there, some of the trees where they burned them out so we could get down there, they're still smoldering, because this kind of came up just like this last week. And so they're smoldering. And so when we get there, he's got about 20 members of his family. There's probably 20 people from the church came. So there's like 50 or 60 of us. And so we start to walk down the bank, and we get to where the creek is. And what he had to do to get us in there, one of those ladders that you can make the one side shorter and the other side longer. So you had to take about 4 or 5 steps down the ladder to get into the water. And it was pretty sandy, so it was a good spot. And so we get in there, and just because it was June, the water was still not warm, just so you know. And so we get in there, and Cole says to us, because no one else, we're probably 20 or 30 feet away from the closest person, and nobody can hear him, but he says, "How long are you going to keep me under the water? My dad told me I had to hold my breath for a minute, and I've been practicing. The longest I've been able to do is 45 seconds. I said, "Well, it's a minute, Cole." I mean, that's what he said. So I said, "We will not put you underwater for that long." He goes, "Okay," because I just didn't know I was going to get to a minute. 45 seconds was the best I could do. I did mention to his dad afterwards that maybe he shouldn't have told him that. And so we get down there, and so when we look up from where we're at on this hill, it is completely full of people. And they are all family and friends of Cole and his family. And so we get ready, and we immerse him in the water, and we bring him up, and there's a picture right as he comes up out of the water. He sent me this. Oh, I think I was here like a week or so when I got it. And just so you know, if you ever send me a note or anything, I keep it, because some days I'm not feeling like I'm gaining on it or doing what God wants me to do. And so I pull out these notes and stuff and read them to help me. And so this, I kept this picture. And so when we brought him out of the water, it just reminded me of Jesus' baptism. And God saying, "This is my beloved son." And so there's pictures here, and I would recommend that you guys come up and see it. But you could feel God's spirit. And so even though it didn't work like it was supposed to, because we were supposed to be someplace else, and they had to work like dogs to clear out that area, because the ground where they hadn't cleared out around us was really pretty thick, thick with bush and trees and stuff. And so they had to work like a dog in a week for us to get there. It couldn't have been better. It was like God did whatever it took to make this so special for Cole and his family. And so that would be the other time I really, really felt God's spirit. Now, we all have different times in our life when we might do that. But what I want you guys to be open to is sometimes we don't stop, rest enough for God's spirit to work through us, because we're all in a big rush and we got to listen. I'm trying to do school yesterday. My neighbor, somebody's sawing, somebody's mowing, somebody's music's up so loud. I heard every Aerosmith song they played, and couldn't close the windows because it was a little warm at my house. In Yorktown, it was warm yesterday. And so, but you could, you can have all these distractions and you don't hear what God's asking you to do. We are not open to that spirit. And so that's what I'm asking you guys to do, is to think about what God's wanting you to do, how God's wanting to move you, and don't always be in such a hurry to do it yourself. That spirit is around us all the time. The question is, are we open to listening and doing? So my, and so I don't do this all the time. I used to do it a lot. And then, so my class this time is preaching, okay? And so at the end he said, okay, so you told people this, then you should always say, and so what? So I talked about this, well, so what? So my so what this week is, take a few minutes and let God speak to you. Don't be in such a rush to do everything on your own. When we do things on our own, sometimes it just doesn't work out very well because we're not, sorry, I'm talking about me. Sometimes I'm just not as smart as I think I am. I'm guessing some of us have the same problems. If we can let God direct us, things will work out better. Amen. Let us pray. Father, let us be open to your guidance and direction. Let your spirit be known to us so that we may follow your wisdom and not our own. The Holy Spirit is around us at all times. Let us be open to it. Let us be moved by it. Let us listen to it. Be with us all as we go out into your world to share your good news to all that we come in contact with. Amen.